Right, and how that is, still a less tenable option. At least like the older, basketball players that you'll see, like on TNT, for instance, like Charles Barkley and Shaq will still talk about like, you need to find a way to get easier baskets that aren't jump shots, because jump shots can have, they don't say variance, but like that's what they're getting at, is the idea of variance and inconsistency. The Clippers are the most jump shot dependent team, I think, left, because they don't have a ton of guys that get to the basket all the time. Like Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, those guys are based on jump shooting. Sometimes it's mid-range jumpers, sometimes it's threes, especially in Paul George's case. Patrick Beverley is like a three-point shooter. Jamichael Green is a three-point shooter and cutter that you try and find at the basket, but they don't have a ton of great passers to open up defenders. Lou Williams is basically their only guy that generates shots at the rim consistently, other than Montrezl Harrell. And Montrezl Harrell, as we've kind of talked about, isn't totally in shape and playable. So this is a very jump shooting dependent team that you kind of just have to expect these swings, I think, at the end of the day, and then trust that Kawhi Leonard is going to be able to close things.
I agree, and I think so. Here's an interesting thing that kind of aligns with what you're saying, and I'm going to add a wrinkle to this that I think is important to not to acknowledge with the jump shooting. There are two teams right now. So the two teams with the lowest rim attempt frequency remaining in the playoffs. So the two teams in the East, and then the three teams in the West. The lowest is Miami, and the second lowest rim frequency is the Clippers, and the notable thing about those two teams, when we're looking at regular season stats, they are number one and two in free throw attempt rate. And that's the other way that the Clippers can get stuff around the basket, is by getting fouled. Also, they can get fouled anywhere, and then if they're in the bonus, which this team can do at times, then they can do it. But remember, free throw attempt rate can be a challenge in the playoffs because things are called differently. More is not. And we saw at moments, there was that thing about like Doc basically being like, they're not going to bail you out. That was a line that they had in like one of the Wired Up segments or whatever. And it's true. Like those calls are going to be different. And one of the elements that makes to me, the Clippers and the Nuggets different in that respect is that the Clippers, a lot of times it's smaller guys going into contact, and those things can be called differently in the playoffs. It's not, like a big man in the post getting hacked every time or something more in that vein. And so if the Clippers, there are times that their free throws can be saving them too, that they can, that it's jump shots and free throws. Like if one of the two is clicking in this series, it's probably enough. But when both are off, they're just dead in the water.
Yeah, no, that's totally right. I guess that I would ask you for something of a prediction. I mean, I think the Clippers are going to win game seven because I've felt the whole way that the Clippers are going to win this series. Maybe that's too disrespectful to Denver, though. Like, I think that we've kind of talked throughout this conversation on the Clippers and haven't necessarily given as much attention to Denver. Part of the reason for that is that the Clippers are a more talented team, but I think that it's worth acknowledging that A, Nikola Jokic has taken full advantage of what's been available to him. I mean, he dropped fucking 34, 14, and 7 yesterday and was just totally unbelievable. Second, Jamal Murray has started to figure things out after an inauspicious start following his, scintillating, fiery first series, right? Third, Michael Porter Jr., it's been easier for him because, like I said earlier, the Clippers don't run a ton of like crazy intricate offensive action, but he's been better defensively in rotation and has played his role offensively and not really like tried to, take over offensive possessions at inopportune times. And I think he's been mostly pretty good about that this year. So I'm intrigued by that. And I think they've just gotten great contributions from guys like Paul Millsap and Gary Harris defensively. And Jeremy Grant has given them athletic minutes, certainly. So I think it's worth acknowledging how good Denver is. I also just want to say a thing that we've been talking about and kind of around throughout this conversation. I think Mike Malone is coaching circles around Doc Rivers.
Absolutely.
Mike Malone is fucking kicking his ass.
Well, and a part of that is also his guys are more in line physically. Like one of the hardest things for a coach to deal with is players who are available but not right. And your brain goes, I've coached Montrezl Harrell for years. He's a really good player. I know what he can do. He just was crowned Sixth Man of the Year, and that was – I didn't pick him, but it was within the range of the guys that I was comfortable with winning the award. And he's not that guy right now. And so one of the most important elements for a coach is to be able to evaluate whether that player or combination of players makes sense in this given circumstance. And I think that that is something that Malone has done much, much better than Doc Rivers in understanding, okay, at this moment we can make this work. And also realizing that if they're going to send extra bodies at Kawhi, and this is part of where I started this, if they're going to send extra bodies at Kawhi, you don't need to throw as many resources at them being really good defenders, because that's what the numbers do. The number of people makes it so that you can have weaker defenders out there, and that means you can get more offense on the floor. And the Nuggets had a 34-point fourth quarter, which is something they probably wouldn't have done if Millsap and Grant were on the floor. And so, yeah, I think that Malone has done a really good job pushing the right buttons. That was not something that I thought was a strength of his in the 2019 playoffs, but absolutely has been so far. Something that I want to mention that I think is going to be really interesting in Game 7. This is now, as has been brought up many times, this is now the fourth Game 7 that the Nuggets have played in the last 2 years, two seasons. All of them, the other previous three, have been ugly games. However, Nikola Jokic has played well in just about all of them. He was a little bit shaky at moments in both of the ones last year. But I mean, he had 21. He had some missed shots against the Spurs, for example. But he did well rebounding. He had a bunch of nice assists in that game. So I mean, it also most game sevens are ugly. And so I'm interested in how that plays out. You know, like, I think the Clippers have a higher defensive ceiling. I think that they have, you know, they have guys who can get buckets, and I'm picking them in the game. Partially, I mean, they've had big leads in almost every game in this series. Like, usually teams with big leads don't lose them. Usually teams, like, or at least don't lose them this regularly. But the Nuggets absolutely have a chance to win the series. They have absolutely made a very positive impression. And so I'm not foreclosing on it in the slightest. I would have the Clippers as favorites, but not overwhelming favorites. But largely because, I mean, like, so you could think about the idea of, like, 538's Raptor model has it as 58% favorites for the Clippers. And then the ELO model has it at 61. I think both of those are probably overstating it a little bit, partially because some of those models, it's more about how that player is at full strength. And I think that it, as we've been talking about this entire segment so far, that's not where the series is. And the Nuggets have specific advantages and the Clippers have specific disadvantages structurally that make this series more disparate from player quality than I thought.
Right. And like you brought up the idea of wings and like having the right amount of wing depth. The problem with the Clippers is, yeah, they have Kawhi and Paul George, and like that should be their wing.